Well, good morning. How's everybody today? Good, good, good. God's good, isn't he? Well, this morning I'm continuing in a series of messages. It didn't like have one title, but it was thematic. And it was directed towards the God that some of you may not know, and that's God the Holy Spirit. And so we started off in week one talking about three baptisms. Who was here for week one? And some of you were like, say what? I didn't grow up learning about three baptisms. And so I took you to scripture and we saw how there were different baptisms mentioned. There was the baptism into the body of Christ, which we would call salvation. Paul referred to it as a baptism. Then there's water baptism, which most of us have experienced. Water baptism represents that we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior and have become new creatures in Christ. The old passed away, behold, new things have come. And we get water baptized to kind of show our faith to other people, what we believe. But then I also talked about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And in week one and every week since, I've kind of said that, you know, if you grew up in a church that taught that baptism, you probably don't have a problem with it. But if you grew up in a church that didn't, you probably might. And so sometimes we, like, will resist something or stiff arm something. If I didn't hear it from my pastor growing up or if I didn't hear it in the church I was at last, you know, I'm gonna stiff arm it. And I just want to remind everybody that as you grow forward in your faith, you could leave this church and go to another church. Just know that God's word's never changed. Amen. Different churches teach different things different ways, but God's word never changes. And so could it be possibly that there's things in God's word that you were never taught? And if you leave churches because they taught something different. Now, if they're teaching something that doesn't resonate with the word of God, get out of town, Brown. So when I share these messages, I'm expecting you to see if there's a peace in your spirit about it. Does it line up with the word of God? It might be a new teaching. It might be something you've never heard before, but be open to it. I know in my own faith journey, some of these things that I'm preaching on now, I stiff-armed when I was a new believer because I was in churches that didn't teach those things. And I figured the church I was in knew it all. So I'm just sharing that with you for your benefit. Who in here would agree, just raise your hand, that you believe things now that maybe you didn't when you were first a Christian? Yeah. So let's leave room to grow. Amen? Amen. So I talked about three baptisms, and we saw in week one that they can't be the same because they have different baptizers, and they are for different purposes. So they have to be different baptisms and or baptism, as my grandkids say, baptism. One of my grandkids asked me one time, they call me Poppy. Poppy, when can I be baptized? And I said, when you learn to say the word right. No, I didn't. Last week, we talked about then that third baptism, because it seems to be one that's, you know, kind of brings some controversy to the conversation. And last week, we focused in on the baptism in the Holy Spirit or with the Holy Spirit. And I answered three questions. You remember what they were? What is it? What is it? In one word, I said it's a gift. You can receive it or reject it. Why is it important? One word. I got the power. It is God's way of filling you with his power to do the things he's called us to do. And then how do we receive it? One word. We ask for it, just like we did salvation. Today, I'm going to focus in on the gifts of the Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit, there are fruits of the Spirit and there are gifts of the Spirit that equip you to do the work of the ministry. And I want to focus in on one, which is seems to be the most controversial. I just like to stir up things. Today, I'm going to talk about speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues. Do not leave. Do not leave when I pray, or we'll know that you're one of those. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your truth that sets us free and sets us right. Lord, I pray that you would show us today from your word the purposes and the benefits of speaking in tongues. And it may be something new that somebody hears for the first time today, but I pray that your Holy Spirit would accompany that news, that new message or that new information to them, and they would understand that, why would God give me something that's bad for me? I pray that you would help deliver this message with love and with peace and with joy, and let us be open to everything that you call good, everything that you call a gift from heaven. Let us be okay with that, whether we understand it or not. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to or click to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's what Paul says, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. He's talking to believers. So is it possible for believers to be unaware of spiritual gifts? Is it? Yes. There are, in verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And in verse 7, but to each one, talking about believers, is given the manifestation of the Spirit, or the expression or demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit for the common what? For the common good. And then he lists them. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the effecting or working of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, there's that word, and to another the interpretation of tongues. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit, just like there are 9 fruits of the Spirit. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he, the Holy Spirit, wills. I want to focus in on that one that seems to be the strangest, and that's the gift of tongues, or the gift of speaking in tongues. The Greek word for tongue is the word glossa, which means either the literal tongue, that little thing right there in your mouth that the Bible says man can't tame. Who agrees that your tongue gets you in trouble? Yeah. Could it be that the Holy Spirit wants to have control over your tongue, and if you yield to the Holy Spirit, you get in less trouble? Amen. I just wonder if the Holy Spirit can tame your tongue unlike you can. Or it means language. Like your native tongue, for most of us, is what? English or Spanish. Okay? And again, depending on how you were raised, where you were raised, how you were taught on this, you're either going to receive it or maybe reject it. But here's what I want to commend to you right here at the beginning of this message, and that is Paul mentions various kinds of tongues and their purposes. And my hope is that we would be open to what he says, since he wrote 1/3 of the Bible more than any of us. Who's the scholar here? Probably Paul. And if Jesus said tongues is real and Paul said tongues is real, we'd be kind of foolish to say, no, it's not. So, with that being said, the first time speaking in tongues is mentioned in the New Testament is in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, following Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And he told his disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait for the gift that the Father had promised. And he's talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. As we know, on the day of Pentecost, God poured out his Spirit. Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, talking about the disciples. And suddenly a noise like a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now that's strange right there. You get a picture of you being in this room, and all of a sudden this noise, kind of like a tornado, or you know, some people say that tornadoes sound like trains. An unusual sound manifested. And they're thinking, I wonder if this is what he was talking about. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and tongues that looked like fire appeared to them. That's strange. They couldn't see it on their head, but they could see it on the other people's heads. Distributing themselves, and a tongue rested on each one of them, a tongue of fire, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with different tongues as the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak out. There was a physical tongue, and there was a language in tongues. And so if you're taking notes, here's point number one today. Speaking in tongues is biblical. Would you agree? Did we just not read in the Bible where Paul's talking about tongues? Last week, you know, I talked about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I read 5, 6, 7 passages in the book of Acts. And in a lot of the passages, tongues, speaking in tongues, was mentioned when they received this baptism. But there were a few verses where tongues wasn't mentioned at all. And so here at our church, I like to teach it this way, that speaking in tongues can be an initial evidence. And we might even go as far as saying usually it is, but I'm going to say it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be the initial evidence. And the reason I know that is many people get filled with the Holy Spirit, but because of pride or fear or something like that, they don't allow that language to manifest with their mouth and with their tongue, and so they kind of fight it. And so it may not be an evidence for months or several years until you are open to the fact that I want everything God has for me, and then eventually that language develops. There's some children, when they're born, they don't speak right away. Huh? Well, I'm talking about when you're old enough to start speaking. Some children are just later than others. You know, some are just, Tammy, can you tell me, tongues with interpretation, you need that. You need that even in our own native language. Why not with a spiritual language for sure? I think history, especially here in America, around the turn of the century, there were some revivals where things similar to what happened on the day of Pentecost happened, where there was an outpouring of God's power and presence, and there was this manifestation of people speaking in an unknown tongue, a spiritual language. And so they began to associate the gift with the experience of Holy Spirit baptism. And like the Pentecostal denomination, they kind of made it a doctrine that the initial, they would write it out, that when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, the initial evidence will be speaking in tongues. And if you don't speak in tongues, you weren't filled with the Spirit. Sometimes they take it too far and they say, if you're not baptized in the Spirit, you're not even saved. And so we have to be careful that we don't add to what God's Word says. And so I believe that you can be filled with the Spirit and not initially speak in tongues. But I also believe that you can, if you want to, and will yield your mind and your tongue, your physical tongue, to the will of the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to speak in tongues. You don't even have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to be saved. You just have to believe in Christ Jesus. So, my heart for Generations Church is that we would be a church where the teaching and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit baptizing and baptism and all the gifts is biblical and balanced. And I'm going to speak to that today. There are times where you can speak in tongues and you would be out of order according to God. And there's other times where if you don't speak in tongues, you could be out of God's will. And so let's look at these different passages and see if we can learn something about this strange thing called speaking in tongues. Who in here knows Chinese? Anybody speak Chinese? What about Japanese? Oh, stand up, and I want you to yell something in Chinese. No, I want something long and loud. That's about as much as some people pray in tongues. No, I want something loud and long. Go. Now, if you did not know that was Chinese, you would go, what is she doing? She's speaking in a known tongue to her, but it's an unknown tongue to you. But probably what you said was, I'm hoping, beautiful and edifying. Thank you, Belle. Just an earthly example of, when we hear something that's strange to our hearing, we're not used to hearing, we put it in the strange category. Could it be that when you got born again and your spirit got reborn and renewed, that you got a spiritual language, yet you don't know what it is yet because you've never wanted to use it? Amen. And could it be that that spiritual language might sound weird to you and others for the same reason that her speaking in Chinese, if you didn't know that was Chinese, you might be going, what is that woman speaking in tongues in church without an interpretation? Are you with me?
Yeah.
So, I want to talk about tongues from that vantage point. Just because we think it might sound weird or be weird doesn't mean God feels that way. In fact, God said it's a wonderful gift that he wishes everybody would use because it will edify your faith walk. And so you may not have the gift, you may not understand it all, but please would you not stiff arm what the Bible teaches about this gift, because in a sense, you're being critical of the Holy Spirit. And that does not please God. Here's point number two. Speaking in tongues is beneficial. Paul said the gifts are given for the common good. And so he writes in detail about the purposes and benefits of various kinds of tongues. I'm going to share with you four different ones from Scripture. Bill, would you do me a favor and stand up once again, and in a loud English, your English language, would you just summarize what you said to them in Chinese? I'm asking for an interpretation now of your tongue. Now, when she shared that tongue in Chinese, did it edify anybody?
No.
Why? You didn't understand it. But when she gave the interpretation, did it bless somebody?
Yes.
Why can't that happen with our spiritual language? Why can't that happen when somebody might be given a word to share with a congregation on a Sunday morning, and they stand up and they deliver a tongue in an unknown tongue? They don't know what she knew what she was saying, because that was her Chinese tongue. But when somebody delivers a message in tongues on a Sunday morning, they don't know what they're saying. God does. And if it is sincerely from God, they're saying something that will edify and bless you. But without interpretation, it does nobody any good. Which is why Paul said, and I'm going to get to it in a minute, in a gathering like this, if you're going to speak a message in tongues, there needs to be interpretation. Otherwise, it doesn't edify the body. You might as well just prophesy or give a word of knowledge or wisdom like Tammy did to that person back in the back. Because it will bless them. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay, so track through with me on the four different purposes and uses of speaking in tongues in Scripture. Number one, it's assigned to unbelievers. It's assigned to unbelievers. 1 Corinthians 14:21, Paul quotes Isaiah, "In the law it is written, by men of strange tongues and by the lips of strangers I will speak to this people, and even so they will not listen to me." That hadn't changed in how many thousands of years? So then tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. Paul said it's a sign to unbelievers. It's what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. It was a sign for unbelievers. The disciples received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other languages, other tongues. They didn't know what they were saying, but the ones that were outside listening and were attracted by the strangeness gathered closer, and what did they do? They heard them speaking something in their own language. And what did they hear? In their own different languages. There were like 15 different languages or dialects that they were hearing the gospel, the mighty works of God, spoken in their native tongue. And what did it do? It made a believer out of them. So notice in that example, the one speaking the tongue did not know what they were saying, but the one that was listening to it perfectly understood it in their native language. For their benefit to come to Christ or to receive Christ. You with me? I'm going to skip those passages because of time. Work with me on this. I want to go to verse 7. It says, "They were amazed and astonished," the ones listening, "saying, why, are not all those who are speaking Galileans? And now is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? We hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty deeds of God." And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean? What is going on?" But others, who knows, there's always a few buts in the crowd. But others were jeering and saying, "They are full of sweet wine. They are nuts. They are crazy." We still do that today. We still scoff at speaking in tongues because we don't understand it and we haven't received it. And who knows that we can make fun of things that we haven't experienced. But once we experience them, we don't make fun of them anymore. I was one of those. I used to make fun at all this goofy stuff. Speaking in tongues until I got tongues. Being slain in the spirit until God slayed me in the spirit and no one even touched me. And God was like, I'm going to teach you, boy. You're going to take back all those things you ever made fun of because I'm going to let you experience them and you're going to become a believer in what God's word says. So I'm here to tell you, I was one of those in the beginning of my walk, I made fun of anything that was super spiritual. And God made a believer out of me. I'm just here to share the news with you. So notice that in this first one, it was the speaker did not know what was being said, but the listener did. Make a note of that. Because like with baptism, we're going to see it changes now with this second one. Here's the second purpose of tongues, a message from God to believers. Now notice these first two are in a public setting. Paul kind of outlines, I didn't run this by God first. I'm gonna throw it out there and see if it bears truth. It's like there are certain guidelines or etiquette, you know, public display of affection, right? There's just certain things you should or should not do if you're going to show affection in public, but then it's like all the rules go away when you're in your bedroom. Or they should all go away. Paul said when you're in a group, there's some rules or guidelines that come with speaking in tongues, and then when you're by yourself in your prayer closet, different set of rules apply. Can you understand that? Okay. So these first two, they're in front of others. It's kind of a public, you know, the day of Pentecost, that was a public event, and now he's going to kind of zero it in on a public worship service here in church, right? And notice with this one, to the speaker, what they're saying is unknown, but to the hearer, it's also unknown. In the first one, the hearer understood it in their native language. In the second one, neither the speaker or the hearer understood, but God did. Because God was the one that gave the message through a spirit-filled believer that shared the message in a tongue, hoping that there would be somebody to interpret it so it would edify the church. Does that make sense? Which tells me that this is not an earthly language. If the speaker didn't understand it and the listener didn't understand it, it must be some language that they haven't heard or learned before. Could it be that it was a heavenly spiritual language that was being spoken that required interpretation? It's what, in that first passage I read, is called the gifts of the Spirit, ministry gifts. There are gifts to use in ministry, and then there are gifts that you can just use in your own personal, private walk. And this would be a public ministry gift called the gift of speaking in tongues with the gift of interpretation of those tongues so that it serves a benefit for those that are in attendance in that public setting. And when Paul said, do all speak in tongues or do all interpret tongues? The answer was no. Why? Because he's talking about ministry gifts in a public setting. He's not talking about your personal prayer language in your prayer closet. He's talking about public displays of affection, not personal displays in your bedroom. Does that make sense? 1 Corinthians 12:28. Talking about the ministry gifts. Now you are Christ's body and individual parts of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, and various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? No. All are not prophets, are they? No. All are not teachers, are they? No. And it goes on down. All do not speak in tongues, do they? No. All don't interpret, do they? No. He's talking about the ministry gift of tongues with interpretation. And then he explains in chapter 14 the proper way for that gift to be used and manifested. Verse 23, if the whole church gathers together and all the people speak in tongues and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say you are crazy? Absolutely. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. Yeah, because he understands what's being said. So therefore, verse 26, when you assemble, when you come to G Church worship at 9 and 10:45, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. All things are done for edification. Notice, if there's a tongue, there needs to be interpretation. If there was a tongue, there needed to be interpretation. If anyone speaks in a tongue, it must be by two or three at the most, and each one in turn is to interpret. But if there is no interpretation, he is to keep silent in church and have him speak to himself and to God. In a corporate setting, if someone were to stand with a message from God and they would say it in their unknown spiritual language, either they would interpret or somebody else would interpret. Now, here at Generation Church, we've never really had that manifest. Who has the gift of interpretation? One person. That's why we haven't really done it, okay? Because otherwise it would be unfruitful. So in a worship service, we choose to prophesy and give words of knowledge and whatnot for the edification of the body, which is scripturally correct and accurate. That's in order. Now, Assemblies of God or Pentecostal churches or Church of God, that's in their DNA. From the time they were young, they learned how to use all these gifts, and you know, who knows whether they're all sincere or not, right? We all have a little flesh that gets in the way. We don't all have perfect hearing. So I'm not opposed to the gifts in a corporate worship service. I just want it to be sincere and from God. And if we're not sure, it's better. Paul said it's better to speak five words in a known tongue than 1,000 words in an unknown tongue. And that's kind of why at our church, we can be charismatic and spirit-filled with speaking in tongues, but you don't really see it displayed in a worship service. Does that make sense? So we're crazy behind closed doors. Paul's saying, when you gather together for worship, I would prefer that you use the gifts that benefit the group. And if someone is prompted by the Spirit to share a message in tongues, there needs to be an interpretation. What's the benefit? It edifies the church. In the first one, it edified who? Unbelievers. In the second one, it edifies the believers that are gathered together. And that word edify means to build up, strengthen, or to encourage. Okay? We good? And then I just want to throw this verse up, that verse 18 and 19. Listen to what Paul says. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. So how can Paul be against tongues if he says, I do it more than all of you? But in the church, in a public setting, I would rather you speak five intelligible words in your known tongue, in your native tongue, to instruct others in 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. And that's kind of our view here at Generations Church. You good? We good? Now let's talk about the personal or private use of tongues. Here's number three. It's for personal edification. Personal edification. Edification means build up. Usually we use this when we're praying to God. Speaking in tongues builds the believer up. Speaking in tongues, when there's interpretation, can build the body up. But if there's no interpretation, prophecy or word of knowledge or word of wisdom, these other gifts, is what edifies the body. And there's nothing wrong with building yourself up. That's why we have a quiet time, right? We read scripture, we pray in English. Why can't we pray in our spiritual language? It's to build us up. And Paul says we can. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. For the one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people. No, wait a minute. Hold on. The upper room, they spoke to people. In the church service, they spoke to people. I wonder if Paul's talking about a different application of tongues. For the one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God, for no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. In his spirit he speaks mysteries. In his spirit, he speaks mysteries. When he speaks in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Do you see the connection between praying in tongues or speaking in tongues with speaking in the Spirit or praying in the Spirit or singing in the Spirit, right? That's different than the first two. In the first two, they were speaking it to people. In this one, they're speaking it to God or praying to God, which is why a lot of believers will call it, they won't call it speaking in tongues, they'll call it my prayer language. It's the same thing. It's a spiritual language. The application, though, is in prayer. It's not a message for others. It's their own quiet time connection with God. They pray in English. They pray in the Spirit. Look at verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unproductive. You don't really know what you're praying when you pray in the Spirit privately. What is the outcome then? Or what should we conclude, G-Church? Is it crazy? Or is it appropriate? I will pray with the Spirit, but I will pray with the mind also. Wait. There's two ways to pray? Watch. I will pray with the Spirit or pray in the Spirit, but I will also pray with my mind also. What's he saying? I will pray in a language I don't understand, but I will also pray in a language I do understand. In your quiet time, I pray in English, I also pray in the Spirit. When I pray in English, I know what I'm saying. When I pray in the Spirit, I don't, but God does. I will sing with the Spirit, but I will sing with the mind also. You can do that in your quiet time. Now, here's what you need to understand. In a corporate worship service, I'm up here on the front row, and most of my singing is done in English, but every once in a while, I'll be inspired to just sing in my prayer language or sing in tongues. And I do it at a level where not everybody really close to me could hear, because it's not for you, it's for me. So if you overhear somebody praying in a tongue, and it's obvious this is not a word from God for me, they're just connecting with God. Don't go, where's the interpretation? Legalistic Pharisees. Just understand that's what they're doing, and so it doesn't need interpretation because it wasn't for me. You can be spiritual eavesdroppers. You shouldn't do that. There was no interpretation. I'll give you an interpretation. Okay, that was my flesh. But at least I know the difference. I think. All right, where do we get? I'm getting off my notes here. Are we okay? Is this helping anybody? Have a deeper, broader understanding of this strange thing called speaking in tongues? It might be strange to us, but it's not strange to God. Paul even talks about it in the spiritual armor, Ephesians 6, 13 and 18. Y'all know about the spiritual armor. Put on the full armor of God. And then he lists the different pieces of armor. And at the very end, verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the capital S, Spirit, pray in the Holy Spirit. What do you think he's talking about? He's talking about praying in tongues. Because other places where he says pray in your native tongue, he doesn't say pray in the Spirit, he just says pray. Here he says pray in the Spirit, which makes sense because right before that passage, it says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. He's talking about a spiritual battle, which requires spiritual armor. Why not pray in a spiritual language? It just fits. And some of you may not know how to pray in a spiritual battle, but the Holy Spirit's got your back. You just pray in the Spirit, He'll take care of you. And after you pray in the Spirit, he may then give you revelation of what you prayed, and he'll interpret it to you in English. And you walk away from that prayer meeting going, okay, I can do this. You know, and so he built you up with courage and strength and faith, not in words you could understand, but it's in that inside knower called the Spirit that resides in you. That's why he says, when you pray in tongues, I'll build you up. I wonder how many believers can't put on the full armor because they've never received this baptism or this gift. Jude 1:20 says, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit." Pray in tongues. That's how you build your faith up. Right? We go to the gym to build our outer man. Why can't we pray in tongues to build our inner man, our spiritual man? Who knows that we need? Who says, "I'm already built up enough. I can't handle any more." And then here's number four, intercession. Intercession. Praying for others. Romans 8:26 says, "Now in the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." So praying in the Spirit for others, interceding for others. Let me give you a couple examples of this. Have you ever had somebody maybe share something with you, and they said, "Would you pray for me?" And you're thinking, "I'm not really sure what I should pray or how I should pray. I don't know enough about the situation." That's when I start praying in the Spirit. I may do it in front of them if I know it's not strange fire to them, but I may wait where I'm not in front of them, and I'll pray in the Spirit for them. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Or you don't know why you're praying for someone. You know, the Lord just puts Susie on your mind this morning. I don't know why. Maybe I should pray in the Spirit and connect with God about Susie, because I don't have a clue. I've not heard from Susie. Haven't even thought about Susie. So, Lord, why did you put Susie on my mind? And you might even, after you pray in the Spirit, you might even call Susie and say, "Hey, the Lord put you on my mind today. I've been praying for you, but I'm not really sure. Can you clue me in?" And Susie goes, "Yeah, my husband just left me." Oh, okay. See, you'd have never known that. But that's certainly a good reason to pray in the Spirit when you're out of the know. Or you might not even know who you're praying for. Right? Maybe he just puts on your heart to pray for somebody, but you're not sure who it is. Sometimes that happens here at church. You know, the Lord will put something on Tammy's heart, usually because she does the ministry time. And she'll say, "I'm not sure who this is for." But the Lord's, right? The Lord's put on my heart, this is for somebody. And then she'll share it. And then somebody else will go, "That's for me." So there's all kinds of reasons why we can pray in the Spirit, why we need to pray in the Spirit, why we should pray in the Spirit, not just in our known language. And then those are the four types. And then I'm going to close it with this. Here's number three. So speaking in tongues is biblical. Speaking in tongues is beneficial. Did you get the fill-ins? Some of you are going to leave a wreck if you don't have all the fill-ins. And then here's number three. Speaking in tongues is a choice. It's a choice. And it's a choice in several different ways. First, it's a choice whether you want to embrace this gift or not. You can reject it. You can receive it. You can use it or not. But if you do receive it and want to use it, it's also your choice when to use it. Just like speaking in your native language, you choose if and when and how long to speak. Same thing in your spiritual language. If I want to pray in the Spirit right now, I can. It's not something that just comes on me and I go into some kind of trance and I'm out of control. Right? Some people have been taught that that thing is not of God. It's of the devil. And they don't know what they're talking about because they've never experienced it. It's like riding a bike. You can get on the bike and pedal, or you can get on the bike and not pedal and you'll fall over. And you can start it and stop it anytime you want. You don't know what you're saying, but God does. And if you're praying in the Spirit and somebody walks in the door and you're thinking, I'm not sure if this is, you know, friendly or not, you can stop it. Sometimes I'm praying in the Spirit, you know, and then if somebody comes into my office, I don't just keep praying in the Spirit, you know, I can't stop, give me a minute. No, I can shut it off. Just like praying in English, I can stop praying in my tongues. I usually don't go a day without praying in tongues, or I usually don't speak in tongues. I pray in tongues, right? I talk to God in tongues. I usually don't go a day without it. But I don't have to do it every day. I can purpose in my mind, I don't want to do this. So that's what I'm saying. It's a choice. And you can turn it on and you can turn it off. Now, another misconception besides, you know, you're out of control and you don't know what you're doing is you can get a demon. It opens the door for the occult. It opens the door for a demon. So just reason with me. How can something that is biblical and beneficial bring a demon? Listen, if Jesus said it was good, if Paul, who wrote a third of the Bible, says it was good, why would they give us something that would give us a demon? You know who says that? People that don't know what they're talking about, people who have never received this wonderful gift, and they're afraid of it, so they put it in the demon category to feel justified for remaining ignorant. But it's not biblical teaching. And why would the devil give you something that builds you up in your most holy faith? He's not. And so if you eagerly desire spiritual gifts and you ask God for it, he will give it to you. Listen to Luke 11, verse 11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Any fathers, would you give your son a snake? If no. Or if he asks for an egg, you're going to give him a scorpion? Corey. Would you do that? And you're not perfect in love like God is. But if you, a sinner, with an evil nature, what? No, we have a sin nature. If you wouldn't do that for your own kids, what makes you think that God would do that for his kids? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That includes all the gifts of the Spirit, all the fruits of the Spirit. Do you really think that if you say, God, I want all of you and I want a language to go with it, that he's going to give you a demon instead? No way. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. He also says, I wish everyone spoke in tongues. In fact, write these verses down and you can go read it for yourself this week. This is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18. I speak more than all of you. So, some people say, well, Paul wasn't talking about that. Well, then what do you, Paul said, I speak in tongues. Well, I speak in English more than all of you? Well, he's talking about spiritual language. Verse 5, I wish everyone spoke in tongues. I know that not everybody's going to have the gift of tongues with interpretation, but everybody can speak in tongues if you're born again and spirit-filled. And then verse 39, don't forbid speaking in tongues. That's up. Church, listen. Quit bad talking it. Quit saying it's not for me. Quit saying it's of the devil. Paul said, don't forbid speaking in tongues. So, let's bow our heads. I'm going to ask you, what did you hear God say to you today through this message about this topic? I want a few prayer partners to come forward. A few prayer partners, come quickly. If you've been a prayer partner at our church, I need you. If you're a life group leader, I need you. I'm going to give an altar call for several opportunities. One is, if you need prayer for anything, come forward to pray for whatever you need. It may not be anything that I've talked about today. But also, if you're not 100% certain that you're a son or daughter of God, if you're not sure, certain you're saved and right with God, would you come and let one of these prayer partners know, hey, I want to make sure I'm totally right. I want to make sure I'm saved. Or, hey, I'm saved, but I want more. I want more. I want this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? I used to always make fun of tongues, but I think I kind of want it. But I want to see people responding to what God has downloaded to you for whatever reasons. You're probably not going to show up to work tomorrow and ask for prayer. You may not go home and ask your spouse to pray for you. Church is the best place to come and ask people that are spiritual people to pray for you to have spiritual things. God wants to give you something good today. Why don't you come and receive it? Let me pray for you, and then you'll come, and then the worship team's going to come and sing a last song. I want the music to play low while they pray, and then at the end, or when I give you that little signal, let's go with the last song. Amen? So, Father, thank you for teaching us about the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that from this day forward, we will, even if we don't understand it, we will look forward to understanding more about it, that we would begin to study your scriptures about it, that we would have discernment on who we listen to and who we don't. Those who have never received it will talk bad about it. Those who have received it never talk bad about it. So, Lord, we need to go to people who have received this gift to get our info. And I pray that our church would grow more in this knowledge, that they would receive the baptism that Jesus promised, and they would receive all the gifts and use all the gifts. And so bless us this morning as we draw to the close of our worship service. Would you come and draw people to this altar for us to pray for them? And then we'll go out with joy here in just a few minutes. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.